Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program is brought to you by Q Drinks, carbonated mixers made for your cocktail. Visit their website at qdrinks.com. That's Q, the letter, drinks.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the air.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
Hey, Souther. That was a fun event yesterday.
Yeah, man. We had a lot of fun with Pharaoh Kina and the venerable Phil Duff over at my little bar, Maury Margo. You came in the afternoon.
Everybody's drinking out of spoons, man.
Drinking out of spoons, taking it like medicine. Yeah, that stuff was invented by a doctor as a method to ward off the rampant anemia that was going on during...
Like an iron supplement, right?
Yeah, it's iron citrate amaro. Cool. It's delicious, really minerally.
Yeah.
How'd you like it? I made you a few drinks.
Yeah, the drinks were great, man. I expected that coming from you.
No,
It's just, yeah, it's really cool, like historic, interesting, weird.
That's the thing, you know, a lot of Amaros, well, a lot of spirits in general have that sort of historical point, but Amaros especially because most of them started out as medicine, and this one did as well. This was made by a doctor, and it was produced to, like I mentioned, ward off the really rampant anemia that was going on in Italy at that time, you know, turn of the century. Because the people were kind of poor and they weren't getting any iron in their diet, yeah. So they would literally take this as a dose. It was a tablespoon for an adult and a teaspoon for a kid every day, and then anemia went away and everybody got healthy. But this was sort of still considered kind of delicious and made its way into cocktails in the modern day. So a re-release in the United States, pretty cool.
Yeah.
What do you got coming up? You're heading out of town tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to be in Portland, Oregon, for a big. The One Moto Show. It's a big motorcycle show. I got there for that. But then I am gonna pop up to Seattle for a night to go to Lorsan. Zach Overman, who used to work at Fort Defiance.
Oh, I know that guy.
Yeah,
we battled it out.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's true. So he was at Rob Roy for a while. So now he's opening his new restaurant, which is receiving rave reviews. I can't wait to check that out.
I drool over their Instagram. Beautiful looking food.
It's really cool.
Can't wait till I go out there.
Yeah, and then I've never actually been to Seattle, so if you have any suggestions, you know.
Well, Avi, you just mentioned Rob Roy, and of course, you know, Alfred and New have opened up No Anchor.
Definitely going there.
Kind of a weird beer bar, and then soon they're opening up Navy Strength. That's when I'm going out. I'm going out in March to see that.
Gotta go to the Zigzag, right?
I'll see Lorsay. Oh, yeah, Zigzag. Awesome. Yeah. Beautiful. It's also just a cool place to get to. It's kind of like on the hillside. You got to walk down these crazy zigzagging stairs. I'm sure that's where they got their name.
Oh.
Crazy.
So, yeah, I know nothing about it.
Have fun in Seattle.
Yeah. What about you? What do you got going?
I'm taking off tomorrow to go down to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, where I've been invited by a group of fellows who've opened a bar that basically pays homage to my little Amore Margo.
Oh.
A bar with no syrups, no juices, nothing shaken, heavily driven by Amaro, and stirred drinks.
Cool.
Called Addendum.
Nice.
They invited me down to their opening night. I'm going down tomorrow with one of our studio guests. Kimmy Winkler is going to go down with me. Kimmy Winkler's here from Novo Fogo Cachaça. And in the studio also we have Jen Marshall, who's here representing Reykja Vodka. I always want to put that Y in there. Reykja Vodka.
And welcome to the show, ladies.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you.
Happy to have you.
Yeah, so let's get going.
Yeah.
What are we talking about, Souther?
I think we're just going to chit-chat about like the life of a brand rep in New York City, or in general, really. You guys travel a lot as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where have you been lately, Kimmy?
Oh, well, I just got back from Paris, which was really fun. It was a little bit more fun than work, probably, but we had a lot of great spirits and cocktails there, too. And I'm looking forward to going to D.C. with you tomorrow to check out that market as well.
What is your market?
Well, it's mostly the Northeast with touch points in the Southeast. So, but it also includes a little bit of Canada, Toronto and Montreal. And then, you know, I live in New York, but then we have Boston, the D.C. area.
Mm-hmm. Rad.
Yay.
Nice.
I didn't really realize that D.C. was part of your thing. I thought you were just tagging along because you want to hang out with me.
Well, that is why, but... Mm-hmm.
Some people like to just hang out with me.
I do.
There are very few of them. And then, Jen Marshall, your Reykjavik, what is your, like, zone?
My zone is technically just New York, and primarily Metro New York.
So just the city?
Yeah, just the city, pretty much. And then, obviously, in the summer, we do the Hamptons. But even though I'm not a national ambassador, I still end up going to a lot of the national events that are, you know, the most obvious ones. I'll go to Tails. We're going to go up to Thirst Boston this year.
Ooh, I might be going up and doing something up there.
Last year we were
maybe with Elton Brown if I can get him to get on board. Yeah, Nick Korn wants me and Elton to do a cooking/drinking thing to get the foodie set more interested in the drinking thing.
Nice.
Oh, that
if that
be
makes
nice.
Any sense. That's a real rough analogy of what it is we're doing, if we're doing it at all. Elton, are you listening?
And Jen and I are going to do Tails Edinburgh this year.
Uh-huh. Yep,
super excited for
You're
that.
You're both going. Oh, yeah. So am I. Are you going?
Yeah,
Damon.
I don't know.
Tails Edinburgh.
Yeah,
come with us.
Get on.
All right, I'll go.
Okay, I'm going to get you fitted for a kilt.
Awesome.
A kilt and cowboy boots. It'll be your look.
I'll wear a matching skirt for your kilt.
Nice.
So you both do a fair amount, and both of you have been at this for a while. I think Kimmy's been doing it longer, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I mean, Jen's definitely been in the industry longer than I have, but I started brand work in, like, 2011?
Right? That's a long time for a brand rep, right? I think so.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was doing a little bit before in 2010, but I didn't have my, like, first full-time job until 2011, and then I didn't stop. We just kept going. So,
and you haven't fizzled out, and that's key.
Yay!
Right. I think a lot of that has to do with your sort of attitude, and that's one of the reasons I asked the both of you to be on at the same time. You guys have, I think, a unique perspective on how to operate as brand representatives and stay true to your brands, but not alienate other brands or alienate other people, in fact. Like, I feel like it's an unfortunate truth in our world that a lot of the brand reps become their brand. And that then, I think, shakes them out of their authenticity. Mm-hmm. You know, a quick way to say that is, like, at Cienfuegos, when I took over operations up there for the time that I did, when I went up there, the music that they played was all Cuban music. And granted, it's a Cuban bar, Cuban theme, Cuban food, Cuban drinks. But I thought to myself, even in Cuba, they don't always play Cuban music from the 40s and 50s, right? They mix it up. Some of that's in there. It becomes inauthentic to be so authentic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So I feel like there's a lot of brand reps out there that kind of do that, too. And you guys don't. You support one another. You support other brands. You support bars that maybe even you're not even on the bar of. I see you come to my bar. I don't have vodka at all.
Right.
Right?
Right.
High tide raises all boats.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Especially
how does your brand view that? Is that okay? I mean, I guess it's got to be okay. You're just doing it all the time, like bosses.
Yeah, I mean, it's never you know gotten to the point where somebody's been like, okay, don't you know, be friendly with this brand. Mm-hmm. You know, with our companies anyway. And I feel like that might be the case for some other companies. Who knows? But it's essentially like such the industry, and especially in this market in New York City, is so. We're so tight-knit, it doesn't make sense to, I don't know, sort of like have this sort of opposing attitude about it.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. It's like, well, maybe, I mean, even with other vodkas, I'm friendly with other vodka reps, mm-hmm. you know? It's, we're all in this, we can peacefully coexist.
Peaceful coexist.
Well, like,
the brand war. The brand war world.
Yeah, I mean, what I notice a lot is that, you know, like, if you, I mean, of course, it's a lot of our friends that, you know, work in these positions. I'm not going to name names or brands or anything like that.
I'll start naming them. Get ready.
But, I mean, like, if you, to have that attitude, it really kind of, like, goes against what, for instance, you know, Southern and I are both bartenders, and we go to visit each other's bars, and we hang out outside of the bar and talk about bartending because we can learn from each other. Like you said before, if you're the smartest guy in the room, you're in the wrong room.
In the wrong room, baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like, Yeah, I mean, if there's nothing else for you to learn, then you're screwing yourself, really.
Yeah, you're doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm. So that said, you know, I feel like that translates to the way the two of you, approach your jobs in this industry. And I think it's
refreshing as fuck.
Yeah, absolutely. But like,
yeah, you guys can swear on the radio. It's great.
I feel like I don't see that a lot so much in other cities. In New York, I mean, like you said, it's very tight knit, and it just makes sense to do. For instance, like, if you can collaborate with two brands at like one like programmed event at a bar one mm-hmm. night, I mean, that's, you know, you're doubling your audience, or maybe, you know, you're yeah, at least I mean, doubling your audience.
I mean, I think that that's certainly worth saying about New York. Mm-hmm. You guys have both, I think all three of you have mentioned that it's kind of that way in New York, but shouldn't it be that way everywhere? Like,
I think so, but I
always whack on Des Moines, Iowa. I've never been. But like in Des Moines, Iowa, if the brand reps aren't like rallying together, then their impact has got to be so much smaller.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, the example that I use here in New York that I think kind of sucks, because you guys are kind of the exemplar of this thing that we're talking about. Maybe we're totally off base, but I don't think we are, because I see a ton of brand reps. I'm now the USBG president here in New York, and when we have our meetings, I'll notice some folks who aren't there. Mm-hmm. And then when I see those folks, I'll be like, hey, why weren't you at the meeting? And they'll say things to me like, well, it wasn't sponsored by my brand, so I can't come. I've literally had brand reps say that to me. That is the entire opposite. That's antithetical to what it is the USBG is doing and what we're trying to create as a community. Like, I think that's the difference, right? Mm-hmm. David and I are bartenders. We stake our entire reputation and our income on the fact that we build a community. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Brand reps kind of should be the same, I think. And you guys are, and I don't think everybody else is. I'm not knocking anybody. I know that they're getting dictums from their corporate, mm-hmm. you know, structure and all that jazz. You know, can't be seen in a photo with a brand that I don't represent. So I can't even go to an event that has a big presence by another brand because it's sponsored by them, because I might be in a photo.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That's exactly the craziest thing.
I think that, I mean, I like what you, Damien was saying earlier.
It's not like the photographers have to be like, gotcha. Oh, I know you're the brand rep for this whiskey. And I saw you fire. Drinking gin.
Gabby Porter's like nailed in camo, yeah, like rappelling right. from the ceiling, firing off.
Right. Natasha Mustache with her fucking camouflage and bushes on her head. Like,
oh, that's funny.
Cowboy hat.
Gotcha.
But what were you saying, Kimmy?
No, I mean, I definitely, Jen and I learn from each other every day. So, I mean, I love working with her, and it's a great collaboration. But I think we've done a couple of times where we've tried to successfully bring several brands together to our Liquor Treat event.
Liquor Treat. That was Halloween, right?
Yeah, that was Halloween. Yeah. And it's one of my most favorite things that we've done, but it was great. And all it took was just actually reaching out to those brands and trying to bring them together. And it worked. It was great.
It's because we have a good relationship with other brands that we were able to do that.
You want to pause real fast and just describe Liquor Treat for the listener?
Oh, we did a... sorry.
Liquor Treat.
Liquor Treat. Mm. We did an event for Halloween where we brought together, I think it was like maybe 5 or 6 different brands and brand ambassadors, and created a scavenger hunt to several New York City bars, where each brand had a treat for the attendees at each bar, but we created clues, so you had to figure out which bar you were talking about, and then had sort of a finale at Holiday Cocktail
Lounge. Yeah, with prizes.
And everyone went around, and the treat, I think, was mostly, anyway, miniature bottles of that brand. You had to figure out the bar. You had a team you went with. You couldn't mm-hmm. break up the team. You couldn't, like...
You had to take a photo.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it was great for... it got some traction on social media. It got some hashtag action. It got some photos for all the brands. It was lifting for all the brands. It was a fun event. People got to move around throughout the night.
And for the bars and for the people who did it.
I think everybody was benefited from it.
Yeah.
Everybody.
So. And that was like a direct result of our good relationships with other brands, because why not? You mm-hmm. know, how is that, how, like, doing an event like that in no way is going to hinder my Rega sales.
Right.
If anything, it's just going to raise them, you know? Yeah. It's like, right. and that sort of awareness.
Yeah, and I think it's important to know that, like, what you guys did in that particular event is you built a bar. You know, I think it's a, you know, I'm not bashing on brands, but I feel like I see so many things that come down from corporate that make brands work harder for themselves. You know, no bar would survive if it only had one brand on its back bar. Mm-hmm. So you guys did a thing where it was like, oh, let's go to each of these bars and get these little minis, and then you set up your own little back bar, right? Miniature back bar with miniature bottles.
Yeah.
I've actually brought in product from seeing, like, groups of brand ambassadors and brand reps hanging out. and going out together and hating bars. I'm like, man, these people are, they get it. They're cool. I like them. I'm going to support their brand.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, we reach out to them. We have them on our little radio program. Six people out there listening. Thanks, guys. Well, cool. It's great to talk to you about this kind of thing. I see some bottles sitting on the table. One is your brand and one is neither one of your brands. So we're going to taste some drinks right after the break. So we're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsor. And then we're going to come back and drink some booze in the studio with Kimmy Winkler and Jen Marshall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jordan Silbert, founder and CEO of Q Drinks. We're proud to support the speakeasy. At Q Drinks, we make spectacular carbonated mixers, crafted to mix with your favorite spirits. Based right here in Brooklyn, we're available nationally in six flavors, including Q Tonic Water for spectacular gin and tonics, and Q Ginger Beer for spectacular Moscow Mules. I started the company after a night in my backyard with good gin, really good friends, and lousy tonic water. I realized the world needed better mixers, so I made them. Q Drinks uses real ingredients, a lot less sugar, and a lot more carbonation. The result? Clean, crisp, spectacular beverages that bring out the best in your favorite spirits. Using Q Drinks, it's easy to create terrific drinks with just two pours. 1 to 2 ounces of your favorite spirit, and 3 to 4 ounces of Q poured over ice in a highball glass. It's simple and spectacular. Q Drinks. Make your drink spectacular.
And we are back. You're listening to The Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. We have our good friends Jen Marshall and Kimmy Winkler in the studio today. We've been talking a little bit about the camaraderie of brand work, you know, just representing your friends as well as your brand, you know.
Representing. Speaking of representing, let's talk about something we're not representing at all. What's this bottle on the table, Jen?
This is actually a bottle that I've had in my house for a long time.
This is from your private collection. You're just sharing something with us.
Yeah, exactly. It's like bring something to drink. It's the Leadberry. It's an old Virtue cider. I don't know. Actually, I really don't know. Somebody will, I'm sure, tell me after this whether it's still in production. But it's basically a Tom Oliver collaboration dry English cider.
Leadberry, B-U-R-Y. What made you bring this for us today? There's ice here. Don't put ice in it.
I mean, I have it for the option. Because I don't know how it is.
I'll put a little in everybody's plastic cup.
Why? Really, honestly, I was like looking around. I was like, what would I like to drink? And that was what I picked.
That's what you wanted to drink.
That's what I wanted to drink.
Yeah, well, that's the way you should do that.
And actually, that sort of...
Drink what you want.
It's a fine segue to the other thing you were saying about drinking... sort of what you want and not always being forced to, you know, like literally if I drink only vodka every day, all day, that wouldn't be authentic, right?
Well, you know, I think
it
does make a lot of sense, you know, like
also if you drink vodka all day, every day, pass, moving on.
No, I was just thinking, you know, like there are some brands and like, don't get me wrong, there are brands that I love, but I'm like, dude, like certain Amari, I'm not going to like name names, but like certain Amari and liqueurs and things like that are just like what they are. I would feel weird if I had like a brand job with them and was forced to drink that like every drink every day. I would get like fatigued from that, you know?
Right. And this is not to say that I don't actually stand behind my brands 100%.
No, of course.
In addition to Reika, I work with Anja Reyes as well, and that is so much fun to work with.
That's
and
great.
So much
the Verde is.
Yeah, it's incredible, and being able to play with that, but you know, it's not an everyday thing for anybody on the planet. Because nothing is.
This is shockingly delicious. It's much drier than I expected.
So dry, bone dry.
See, that's the thing. I you know. I fall down my own pigeonhole. I've typecast my own self as this bitter guy. So then, anything that even remotely sounds sweet to me, I probably just don't give it a chance. Like cider, I'd be like, no thanks.
Yeah.
But this is super dry.
It's kind of like cider in the United States has like a really bad reputation that we're starting to dig ourselves out of that hole. You know,
exactly.
Because like
with products like this
is this is the kind of stuff that like the world is known for. Ever, but we were, you know, so used to having these super sweet, like, like basically, you know, soda pop of cider, you know. And it's really like, I'm probably never going to have Angry Orchard on this show, so I'll use them as an example.
Now you're not for sure. Yeah.
Next week's show sponsored by Angry Orchard.
That would really suck. But you know, I think there's, you know, a ton of different spirit categories that in the United States we've had to dig ourselves out of this like really sickening sweet, you know, idea of drinks, you know, in the United States for a very long time. But it's cool. And especially, that's why we have brand ambassadors.
So much so that the not too sweet meme is like...
Yeah, the not too sweet
is... You know, it's become a joke.
One of my bartenders, Sean, and Chris Elford, who lives out in Seattle, who you'll meet up with when you're out there. They both, on the same day, went together and got tattoos on their arms that say, not too sweet.
I love that, man. So good.
So Sean will be at the bar talking to someone. And they'll say they like their drink not too sweet. And he'll just be like, huh. And hold his arm up to his chin, like, and it's right there, so they can see it. Oh, excuse me. Okay, so I just poured. You may have heard on the radio there. I just poured some other liquid into another glass. What am I pouring here, Kimmy Winkler?
Today I brought our new Nova Fogo limited release Graciosa. This is actually a really special mark for us. It's part of our Two Wood series. So we're only going to get about very limited amount, about 40 cases in all of New York City. So when it's gone, it's gone. This one is aged for about 2 years in ex-bourbon barrels, and then it finishes for about 18 months in Brazil nut wood barrels, which is an endangered but indigenous wood to Brazil. So
Brazil, it says chestnut. Is that same? Is that the same thing?
Chestnut?
It says oak and chestnut on the bottle.
Yes. It's Brazilian. Yes.
Chestnut.
Yes.
Got it.
But it is an endangered wood, so we're trying to be really careful about how we're using these woods. They're great for aging cachaça in, but they are endangered. So we're trying to be really careful with how we use them and not overuse them. So
that's a big point of contention for your whole company, right? You're very like hardcore about sustainability and...
Mm-hmm. Protecting the rainforest and making sure that, you know, we're not overusing resources that don't need to be overused. So this is the second in our Two Wood series. The first one is the Tanager, which is a little bit more readily available. The Graciosa is super limited. So it's actually named after a historic road that goes from the mountains through the rainforest to the water.
Have you gotten to go down there? I mean, you've only been working with this company for how long?
Yeah. Oh, for about 5 months, yeah.
Yeah, you're new to this one. You've been brand repping for a long time, but you're new to this one.
Yes.
But you've been down to see the facility?
I have, it was incredible. Definitely a life-changing experience, a heavily immersive experience, too. It's right in the middle of the rainforest, and you're not allowed to cut any part of the rainforest down. So we're talking about working with, like, natural clearings that are kind of, like, spotty around the distillery facility. But we only had 2 barrels of this particular finishing barrel, and that's why we only have such a limited quantity of it. But
amazing.
Anyway.
Let's taste it. Damon, did you already taste it?
I've been tasting it the whole time. It's delicious.
It's really smooth.
Yeah. Yummers. cool.
Man, it's got a lot of vanilla and a lot of, like, some kind of creaminess, like creamy nuts.
It's true. It doesn't have that sort of that cachaça finish that is so prominent in a lot of others. It's delicious. I mean, all of them are, but...
For me, it's like a little bit... It has like this like...
Ooh, it's warm too. What is it?
Almost sweetness on the finish or something like that. It's really
nutty. It's almost like a...
42%, 84 proof.
It's almost like an Armagnac finish or you know?
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Armagnac, Oloroso, I mean, cherry.
Somewhat close.
I was going to say cherry.
You know, somewhat close cousins, right?
Yeah. Cool, man.
Cool.
Yeah. We've got all these fun toys in here today. This is great.
Yeah, cider
good
with
friends,
a...
good drinks.
Cider with a cachaça chaser.
Yeah.
This is a pretty sweet, not sweet, Boilermaker we got going here today.
Not too sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, nice and dry Boilermaker. And you've been down to Brazil...
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned earlier in the show you were going to take me down, or did I think of that?
We'll talk about that later.
I've never been, just throwing it out there.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh, yeah. Let's all go together.
Sure.
Yeah.
Damon, you in?
Yeah, sure.
Why not?
You convinced me.
We get a motorcycle and ride down that road she talked about to the river.
Yeah.
Probably don't even have to wear a helmet.
Yeah.
But Jim, I will anyway.
You have been, you've been on the DL for almost 6 weeks.
I have been. I have been in hiding, just recovering from a full hip replacement. And today is actually the third time I've left the house in a month.
You're like one-third robot or something.
I'm completely a cyborg now. I have titanium in my body. And it's the healing is coming along really well. It was really, really painful at first, obviously. But it was also really painful pre-surgery. So, listen, kids, 15 years of bartending and genetics.
I think that's worth noting.
They don't go well together. It was arthritis, but it was, I think, also brought on by really, like, so the life in this industry, you know?
Yeah, I think that's worth noting. You know, we got a lot of, you know, our sort of luminaries and guys who've been doing this for a long time, maybe up to and including myself, when I put out that sort of cry for help when I needed new shoes, which, if you look at my feet, I still haven't gotten, right? I'm still wearing Vans like a sucker. P.S. Love Vans. I've been wearing them for all my life.
Next week's
show. Yeah, yeah. No, I love Vans. I've been wearing them all my life, but it's time that I change. I have to change, and the reason is I don't want to, you know,
end up like me.
I don't want to end up like you. Yeah. I can't afford to be not working for 6 weeks, and I can't afford to be walking around with a crutch behind a bar. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I think that's, you know, at least
I mean, it's an
something I wanted to touch on while you were here is just like, I think it's important that we reiterate to those who are in our field and want to be in our field for a long amount of time. You know, this is no longer just a thing you do during college. This is a thing you do as a career. Footwear matters. Exercise matters. Yoga, stretching, all those things. Like, I stretch before every shift, which is a hangover from my former career when I was a butcher. We would all stretch in the mornings before work because we're going to be lifting, turning, bending, you know, floppy giant chunks of meat, and like you needed to be limber and ready for that. And yeah, I think it's important to note that's a thing, and we're glad you're recovering, and we're super glad you came down to the show.
Yeah, and I'm happy that I wasn't. I mean, this is a, you know, when I initially switched over to the supplier side from behind the bar, I had, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years of reticence and oscillating back and forth between deciding if I wanted to do it. And you know, right now is this time where I'm thinking, God, thank goodness I did that, because, you know, had I still been behind a bar without insurance, it would have been a different story for me altogether.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't have been able to work for a while, not just the surgery and the recovery, but you've had a cane in your hand, which can't be behind the bar for months.
For like 3-4 months leading up to this.
Yeah.
So,
super smart looking, real cool, by the way.
So, the pimp cane, yes.
nobody still hasn't nobody been canes bedazzled. Like you. Nobody canes like you.
But we, you know, just thinking about, like, I'm so grateful for how well the company took care of me.
Yeah.
You know, and that I didn't have to worry about a lot of things I would have had to otherwise. And
fact.
And it makes it, you know, another aspect of making it easier to do my job, aside from the fact that I get to work with friends and awesome other brand people that I love. It's like, you know.
Yeah. I want to talk real fast about both your experiences as a brand rep, as becoming a brand rep. Jen was behind the bar for years, and you were never behind the bar.
I was never behind the bar. That's true. That's
still
true.
Never behind the bar.
Well, sometimes you let me stand behind there sometimes. No,
never. Yeah, like the Vanna White. Like, oh,
don't touch anything.
Here's this model. you're like my presenter. Yeah, so how does that even happen? How does it happen for either of you? I have no idea how it happens at all.
Well, for me, I was
were you recruited?
Coached. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was the, you know, I opened Nighthawk. I was the buyer there, the bar manager there. And
Nighthawk Cinema in Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
Indeed, that's the one. And, you know, I mean, basically my contact, who's now my friend and boss at William Grant, she basically tried for several years, like, come work with me. What are you doing? Why are you working so hard? And I was like, no, I'm a bartender. Never.
And then you were lured in.
And then I was, just woke up one day and I was like, I think I'm ready.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in Kimmy's case, it was promo modeling, right?
Yeah, mine is a much, much different story than that. I have just moved to New York. Actually, the same friend. God.
Yeah. Thanks,
Danielle Brady Wild. Good job. She was a friend of mine just organically in the world, and I wasn't doing a whole lot. And she had recruited me to basically memorize the kind of like these thick manuals on two single malt Scotch whiskeys to do like custom presentations for groups of like lawyers and things like this. And basically, I think she hired me because she knew I could like memorize the material. and I actually really enjoyed it and I loved it until like, you know, a couple months into doing these sort of events, I was giving one of these presentations on the brand, and a guy like raised his hand and asked me a question about single malt scotch as a category in general versus the particular brand that I was speaking to. And I was horrified and embarrassed that I didn't know the answer to this question because it was not in the book that I had read and studied. And because
the brand only gave you brand specific materials.
Well, and then, and in fairness, that's what the presentation was on. And I was,
of course,
and I loved every, and I knew the ins and outs of everything about those particular brands. But, and after that, because of sort of the embarrassment of that, I took it upon myself to like really study like that category and to, go visit bars and learn from bartenders and things like this. And that just sort of actually over about a year elevated it, and like I was just sort of doing self-study into other spirits. And Danielle came to me one day and was like, she said, I have a job for you. It's a full-time job. And I was like, no, I don't want a job. And she was like, it's doing exactly what you're doing on your own already. She's like, it's, I need you to, and it was my first full-time job, in the industry as an ambassador person, which was working with the bartenders and going and visiting them and exploring new opportunities. And it was great. And I honestly loved it, and I've loved every single job I've had since then.
So that first guy who asked you that question that was off-brand for the thing you were talking mm-hmm. about that day maybe spurred your interest in knowing more about the industry in general. And even though you work for a brand, you are connected to other brands at all times. Just like what we're talking about today. Full circle, baby.
Yay. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's also coincidental that the same person hooked you guys up.
How, I actually never thought about that.
I didn't either. I think she might be listening right now. I don't know.
How long have you two been friends?
Me and Jenner?
Yeah. So did this happen independent? You didn't know each other?
Well, so I knew Danielle, like, organically in the world.
Yeah, and we met through Danielle as well.
We met through Danielle. But when she was still working at Nighthawk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
And then it's just been...
You guys are like...
Lovely ever since.
Besties. You live across the street from each other.
We couldn't be happier.
She's like, I see your lights on your home. You want to come over? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll be right over.
Let's order pizza. Well, great.
Do you guys have like a string and cans? Like,
we joked about this.
I can access her Wi-Fi for what that's worth.
Wow. Yes, and I can. Our Wi-Fi show up on each other's. Yeah, that's funny.
That's pretty close by. Maybe you should just consolidate your bill and have one.
Yeah. Not a bad idea.
Get a booster to make sure. But yeah. Man, super fun having you both on the air. It's always super fun to see you both at the bars. Can't wait to see you back in the bars, Jen.
I can't wait to be.
You're going back to work official next week.
Next week, yeah, and then I'll be out and about again.
Cool. Well, I haven't
been ignoring anybody.
Well, you got lucky that you get to miss Valentine's Day.
Yeah, you're right. I agree. And January is all together.
Yeah, true, right? Not the best. Although weather is unbelievable, 61 degrees here in Brooklyn today.
So
climate change is an alternate
fact. Though I understand it will snow tomorrow, so.
Climate change doesn't exist. All right, team, we're going to wrap it up. Next week's show is going to be Mal Spence. Is it Spence or Spencer? Do you remember?
Spence.
Mal Spence, who is the global brand ambassador, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know what he is.
Black Bottle.
I know who he is. I mean, it's Black Bottle Scotch. We're going to have Hal Wolin in the studio with him, who's their brand rep. And Mal,
who is also our buddy.
I was going to say, we love Hal.
Like. Yeah, everybody's buddy. But yeah, they're going to come in. Mal's from Scotland, so we're going to hear a nice thick brogue and get all excited about going to Scotland.
Are you
going to
wear your kilt?
And maybe I will. It's a good idea.
I'll be listening from an airplane coming back.
Oh, that's right. You won't be here. It'll just be me and Mal and Hal. And then those guys are definitely going over to Grand Army afterwards to do a Black Bottle Scotch sponsored happy hour from 5 to 7. Yeah, that's all we've got, I think. Oh, actually, there's one more small thing. Pretty big thing. Please pay some attention to Creative Drunk, my social media handle on all platforms, because I have a huge announcement coming up that I'm going to leak a little bit of right now. We're opening a new bar. Okay.
Yay. What is it?
Drum roll.
Right here in good old New York City, USA. But yeah, we're going to be opening a new bar, and it's got some very cool parts to it that I will slowly reveal. And it's going to be soon.
The slow reveal.
Maybe not even 2 months, Damon.
Really? That quick?
You need any shifts? well, we already have the space. It's already got a license.
Oh, that's true.
We just need to do a little buffing and polishing and then flesh out our concept, which, well, fuck it, I'll reveal it now. Charity. It's going to be a charity bar.
Oh.
Yeah, we're going to do the overwhelming majority of all proceeds are going to go to charities, especially all the charities that are kind of being shit on right now, like Planned Parenthood, ACLU, Women's Rights, etc., at least in the beginning. And then that's going to be the tack of the bar for its entire lifetime.
That's mm-hmm. a brilliant idea. Brilliant.
We haven't got a name for it yet. So if you got a cool, punny name, I know you love puns.
I do. I've got...
I'm
already workshopping like five in my mind.
We're looking at things like... The Benefactory.
Oh.
The Give In. I-N-N. Get it? Give In. My favorite so far is Charity Case.
You should have an online contest.
You should be awesome like you are. That's a great idea. Okay, pay attention to Creative Drunk on all media. We're going to figure out some way to make an online contest to name our new upcoming charity bar. Anyway, once again, really great to have Kimmy Winkler in from Novo Fogo Cachaça, Jen Marshall from Rica Vodka.
Thanks for having us.
Ladies.
Thank you.
All right. That's it for the show this week.
The studio pretty this week.
Yeah, exactly. We need all the help we can get. Well, that's it for this week. Check out Heritage Radio Network for many more programs like this one. Until next week, I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
And cheers.
Cheers, ladies.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization, driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Listeners, we want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.